This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
It's Friday!
Yay!
Whew. Wow. You can say that again.
Yay!
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No. Thank you very much. We are ending the week on a rainy note. May this be the final few days of rain before we enter our Detroit NFL draft week. Because we'll have 600,000 of our closest friends downtown Detroit. And we want to give them the best experience we possibly can. Now, everybody knows we can't control the weather. But wouldn't it be great if we were able to provide one of those beautiful, sunshiny days we know so well
Something I've been worried about since they announced it. Late April in Michigan could either be beautiful or it could be this.
Yeah. And we don't want this. This is not how we want people to remember. I thought Detroit was great. It was a little wet, but I loved it. I want them to just love it and not have to deal, or us, any of us, for all of these festivities that are outside that are going to be, regardless of the weather, they're going to be a lot of fun. Did we learn about OJ's death after the show yesterday?
No, we learned about it right before. We talked about it a little bit with Lomas.
We did. Okay. That's right. I asked if Lomas knew him, and he did, but he knew him more as a sideline reporter because, you know, OJ was a lot older than Lomas. That was fun with Lomas yesterday, by the way, wasn't it?
It was a blast.
Yeah, that was a good time. Those Detroit Economic Club events are very, very good. And you only get them here in Focus on WJR, and we're thrilled to be their official broadcast partner here at WJR. So it's all good. And having Lomas in on the Lions Day and Rod Wood there and all of that made it extra special. I'm anxious for the Lions, and I don't know what is going on with so much back and forth on the Jared Goff thing. Give us a break here.
Yeah. I mean, and we chose to go with the positive quote of Jared Goff saying right. that, you know, whether he agrees with the media or not, he still feels like coming to Detroit was the best
thing for best his, thing ever happened
for his career and for his life.
Right. And that's all that matters.
And we're happy to have him.
He made an observation that the news media can be self-destructive. And I've talked about this years gone by because it's gotten better. But I used to say that, you know, having worked in New York City and in Philadelphia, two bigger cities, I never saw a media feast on itself as much as ours did. And that was true here in Detroit, especially true several years ago. It's now true in New York and maybe even Philly, too. It's just an interesting observation about how the media treats home. I've always been a homer, and I'm not embarrassed to say it.
Yeah, and I think the negativity comes with some caution, with kind of not getting your hopes up, because I think we're learning to have a legitimately good football team in this city. For so long, there is always a creative way that, you know, the Lions would have defeat snatched from the jaws of victory, whether it was self-imposed or we even saw it this year with the refs and the checking in and the ineligible receiver, you know, Decker reported, he didn't report. So I think what happens is I think we get worried about getting our hopes up and crushed, and I think maybe that might make some of us here in Detroit default towards the negative.
That's an interesting observation. I hadn't heard it put that way before, but I'll go with that with you, Michael. I appreciate the observation. But at this point, as Goff would say, we're not the same old Lions. We're not the underdog. You know, And I can tell you this from speaking to Rod Wood, we knew this, we figured this, that every time he runs into people now at the various meetings he goes to for the league and all of that, they look at him in a different way and look at the Lions in a different way. And by the way, the Lions, he said the Lions would be ready for that, and they better be, because there have been times the Lions have won because they have been so taken for granted by other teams that the other teams didn't get up sufficiently to play the Lions, and the Lions beat them. Right. I'm not talking about this past season. I'm talking about for many seasons.
Yeah, they looked past us. The trap game, I think, is what it was called.
And I used to say, we might beat these guys. They think they're so good and we're so bad. And oftentimes we did, although I was wrong 16 times in a row one year, and I'll never forget that.
Who could have saw that coming, though?
Not me. I was 0-16 in my prediction. I can't even believe it's still thinking about it. But anyway, it's a new day. It's a new Lions. Fear not, fellow procrastinators. We still have a few days left to file our 2023 tax returns. I was no kidding signing my papers and making checks. Monday's the deadline. Now, of course, if you need a bit more time, you can file for an automatic 6-month extension to avoid a potential penalty from the IRS. But remember, that extension is for the paperwork, not if you owe money. You still have to send the money on time Monday, but you can get an extension. If I didn't file for an extension, I think the IRS would contact me and see if I was dead.
Well, that's a bummer, because the money is what I want to delay sending, not the paperwork.
That's the problem. And it sounds great when you say, oh, I can delay? Yeah, the paperwork, not the money, because the money then gets, there'll be interest and penalties and all of that. So it's in your best interest, second use of the word, to get the money in best you can. Anyway, and by the way, it is a guesstimate because you're not done.
Right.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, it has been interesting, though, reliving kind of this whole OJ saga over the past day.
You know, it's funny you were going to go there. That's where I was going to go.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, have you noticed the different ways in the ways that people remember this? I remember not wanting it to be a big deal. I was just coming back home here in 96. It turned out to be it was a speeding train. You either jumped on board or you got run over by it, because everybody seemed to be consumed by the whole O.J. Simpson. By the way, because I wiped these things out of my mind, I didn't remember, for example, that one scene that we've seen now. They've shown it. Maybe you've seen it, like the Oprah Winfrey show when they made the announcement, because it came through while they were on the air, I guess live maybe. The white audience was stunned. The black audience cheered. And I didn't remember such a schism, a major schism in our society, and the way they reacted to O.J. Simpson. Finally, a black man getting justice in the court system, and, oh, my God, I can't believe he got away with it.
I remember I was in elementary school when the verdict came out, and I don't know why they did this, but it was the middle of lunchtime. They wheeled the TV in, and we watched the verdict. I don't know if the lunch ladies were on the edge of their seat, but I remember.
I would say that was it.
Yeah.
The kids in grade school.
Well, I remember, you know, us kids, we knew him from the Naked Gun movie. So we're like, we were happy, because we're like, oh, yeah, the funny guy from the Naked Gun movie, he couldn't have done anything like this.
Oh, boy, isn't that funny? Yep, depended on what age you were. Where you were, what you did, and apparently what race you were. And I'm hoping we're as far beyond that as we can be. We'll never be totally, but hopefully beyond that. We've got a lot going on today, a lot that we don't want to think about, and some that we have to think about, and we'll do that. And so it's a busy day, that's for sure. As we get rid of this rain, get it out of our system, so that next week, our very special, long-awaited Detroit NFL draft will go along with bright sunshine and no hiccup. I'm sorry, the week after next. The week after next. I don't know why I'm rushing it. I'm trying to rush it.
We're so excited, that's why.
We are excited. Well, there's so much going on behind the scenes here within the radio station. We just got another note from Ann, our boss, about it, but it's the week after next. Next week is Oh, it's the birthday week. It's Sophie's birthday. Sophie was born the day after I turned 50. So April 19th, she'll turn 21.
Happy birthday to you both. Don't want to skip that.
Yeah. She'll be 21 Thursday. Is that Thursday, the 19th? And on Wednesday, the 18th, I'll still be 50. It's amazing how that works.
No. The 18th is a Thursday.
All right.
The 19th is a Friday.
Friday. All right.
I have all this written in my calendar for you.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. I only remember my birthday because I remember Sophie's being April 19th. And mine then was April 18th. But as I said, I can't believe she'll be 21. Listeners to my morning show 21 years ago heard her heartbeat on the air when her mother was carrying her. It was an amazing sound. And the only people who got it right away were nurses on their way to surgery and such early in the morning when I did it. All right, I thought I successfully out-talked the music. I didn't. Good old Danielle keeps it going, and we're going to keep going too here in Focus on WJR. These are troubling times. That's putting it mildly. Israel ready for an attack on Israeli soil from Iran. The United States of America ready for an attack like Russia went through. The FBI director, Christopher Wray, saying that a coordinated attack on U.S. soil is very, very likely. Very much like that Russian concert hall where all those people were killed. We're looking at that as a possibility here in these United States. These are troubled times with what's going on in Ukraine, with what's going on in Gaza, with the Palestinian people, with the Israelis, with Hamas. It's a difficult time. Time to speak with a guy we used to speak with much more often, and glad to catch up with him now, the publisher of the Arab American News, Osama Siblani. Osama, it's been a very long time. I'm so glad we're catching up to each other in this new afternoon show.
Good afternoon, and yes, I am very happy to hear from you, Paul W. I hope you are doing well and enjoying the nasty weather outside.
I'm up to here with the nasty weather, but Osama, if we get rid of it now, so it's out of our system in 2 weeks when we have the NFL draft, that'll be just fine with me because I will sign
on to this one. Yep.
Okay, absolutely. Good for you. You know, it's one of those horrible things that happens. I'm going to say it gets blown out of proportion, but if it's just one person yelling it, it's bad. But it wasn't the whole group of people who were together. But when it starts to get reported in the news, it's a bunch of people in Dearborn yelling "Death to America." And then, of course, the news media picks it up. It goes all around the country and people call us and say, "What the hell is going on there?"
Well, apparently it was a mistake, and they have apologized, and we have condemned it in all terms strongly, and we are not going to accept it. This is something that we have totally, totally condemned. We cannot stand for something like this. America is our home, it's our country, the place where we are raising our children, grandchildren. This is where we're going to die. This is where we're going to be buried. We will defend this country with our souls and our bodies and spirits and kids and grandkids. So just rest. This was a mistake. It's not acceptable by the community. This community is very appreciative of the country. However, we disagree with the foreign policy, and disagreement on policy should not go to that limit of condemnation and should not be a launching ground for hateful speech. Today in the Free Press, you know, they did apologize. And
when you say they, explain to me, I don't have the Free Press in front of me.
I mean, the organizer of the event, I have marched in this event in the Quds Day. The Quds Day, we have been marching for the Jerusalem, it's the International Day for Jerusalem. Ah. Almost 10,000 Christians. We have marched in that in that day, last Friday in Ramadan. However, this Friday in Ramadan, the march turned ugly when one person, who is a white American convert, raised the issue of death to America, which was totally wrong and uncalled for. And we have already made our statement that we condemn these kind of rhetoric, you know, and we do not agree with it. Not only we disagree with it, we condemn it totally.
I'm so glad that you didn't waste any time to do that. You didn't have to think about it, nor did the Dearborn mayor, Hamoud, and many other leaders who condemned that.
Yeah. In fact, Paul, I'd like you to know that in the paper this week, we just came out, and it will be in the market tomorrow in the Arab American News. We have a full-page ad that is, you know, we put a press release from the entire community, from the most of the organization, and they are signed on it. And all the elected officials and the public officials in our community have signed on to the letter. And we've condemned it on all terms. America is our country. We're very proud of our country, and we will defend it with our lives and our souls.
Well, God bless you for that. We're talking with Osama Sablana. He is the publisher of the Dearborn-based Arab American News, and I'm happy to hear that coming out. As a very proud American who happens to be of Arab descent, America is my choice. This is where I live. Now, I was born here, so I didn't choose to live here, but I didn't leave. And I am an American 100%. I happen to have in my family, my mother was 100% Lebanese. But she was born in America. She was carried by my grandmother in her belly on the boat over from Lebanon.
Well,
you know my story.
I'm,
you know
I'm
my story.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. And we're very proud of you, Paul. And I am an American by choice. And that is very, very big. That's very important that when you choose to be an American, not when you were born to be American. I chose to be American. I am very proud. America gave me the potential, the opportunity. I lived the American dream. And many, many people in my community feel the same way. And the America statement is just absolutely disgusting. And it's not acceptable at all, and should not have happened, and it will not happen. And if it happened, I encourage my community and the people around, whoever says it, to tell them to shut the heck up.
I'm so glad. I'm so happy to hear you say this. And I was disappointed, but
that doesn't mean.
No, you can disagree. I understand. Yeah. I support the Palestinian people. I support the Israeli people. I don't agree with what's going on right now, but I also don't ever forget that it started because of Hamas, knowing that the hell they would rain upon the Palestinian people by doing what they did, and they did it anyway.
Well, I mean, that's another discussion, because I don't think that we have the time to discuss it, but I can tell you that the situation did not start on October 7th.
No.
It started in 1948. The Palestinians have been under occupation, brutal occupation. We should end it. The way that the administration handled this crisis, Biden, was wrong. You know, we should have dealt with it, but we should have, you know, thought immediately about finding a solution to end the cycle of violence and have a Palestinian state to exist side by side with the Israelis. And that is something that we have accepted long time ago. I was 1993 at the White House when the Oslo Accord was signed on September 13, 1993. That was like 20 years, and nothing has been done.
Yeah, you know what I want to do?
Continued. Yes,
I want this not to be so rare, this conversation, Osama, and I'm going to ask my producer Mike Parsons to talk to you off the air, and schedule another time soon for you to come, because we're out of time, but I want to ask you your thoughts on how we fix this problem and move on, if we can live together as a people there in the Middle East, or if we're kidding ourselves to ever think this is going to be over. I want to hear your learned thoughts on this. Can we do that again soon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to live with each other, and we have to find a way, and that takes leadership and compromise.
And we're lacking that right now. I'm glad you brought that up, Osama. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, sir. Osama Siblani, the publisher of the Arab American News, here in Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. Bum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum. I hope that you're streaming us. I hope that you also go to WJR.com and get our podcast. If you can't be here noon to 2, Monday through Friday for Focus, certainly listen to us at your convenience at WJR.com, the WJR app. Get our podcasts of the whole show. They go by very quickly, and we miss you if you don't check in. So we would love that. And that, but you don't. When I say you're hearing, when I'm going bum ba doo ba da, it's with the music that you don't hear. That's one of the things that happens that I'll never quite understand. It's not for me to understand, just to know that the music does not show up on the podcast. Probably a licensing thing or something. I know. I'll write music and put my own music in there. What a thought. Well, we first told you about this a couple of years ago, and our next guest, Marie, was all about this. And unfortunately, 2 years later, you'd like to say the problem's been fixed, solved, or on the way, but now the problem is getting worse. The American Society of Health System Pharmacists say drug shortages in the United States are at an all-time high, with 323 commonly used medications actually hard to find. WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne has a look at what's behind the trend. What can we do, Marie?
Well, maybe the government will come to the rescue. We'll
see.
So, okay, we're talking about some basic and life-saving medicines here. We first talked about this a couple of years ago. This includes chemotherapy, pain, and sedation medications. Of course, those are used in surgical procedures, and ADHD medications. The American Society of Health System Pharmacists, that's ASHP, says exploding interest in these diabetes drugs used for weight loss, we're talking about semaglutide here, has also caused widespread shortages as supply simply can't keep up with the demand. The data shows that the highest shortages between 2019 and 2023 were antibiotics, chemo, central nervous system, and hormone therapies. So why are there shortages? Supply and demand is an issue. In rare cases, a shortage of raw materials was reported. But in about 60% of the shortages, the manufacturer either didn't provide an explanation or the shortage was for an unknown reason. Now, this year, the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, issued a report, and they said there are continued challenges for the FDA in the wake of the pandemic and their staff vacancies. However, the report said that the GAO had a long-standing problem with the FDA being able to oversee a global supply chain. Here's a little fact. The GAO found in its report that over 4,800 manufacturers providing drugs for Americans, that's about 58% of them, were coming from overseas as of 2022. And one example, last November, a pharmaceutical plant in India was flagged by an agency because they had some quality issues. The FDA said they can no longer be brought into the United States. And this is an important chemo drug. So that's just one example of why this is happening.
And this isn't even addressing, I mean, maybe it is in a sense, but the off-label usage of medicine, meaning when people found a diabetes drug would help them lose weight, they had no diabetes, but they went crazy for the drug to lose weight. And then certain diabetics couldn't get the medicine they needed for their diabetes.
Well, this is true, but that's a secondary issue to the main part of the story here. And I'd also like to say that with the semaglutide, it was being prescribed by doctors. People didn't just like go and get it. They had to
listen,
be prescribed
doctors,
by a doctor.
Doctors do off-label prescribing all the time.
Yeah. So, but that's just a small part of this whole story. The real story here is the fact that so much of our drugs are coming from overseas, that the FDA is having troubles. The GAO is probably right. They're having trouble overseeing a global supply chain. It's very different than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. You know, for the longest time, I wasn't quiet about it, much to the chagrin of some, but I've never been a fan of generic drugs for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is they were mostly made in China, now India. And then I had to throw in the towel because the brand name drugs are made in China and India now. They're all being made where they can be made for the least amount of money, but they also have absolutely different standards of sanitation than we have. So it's not surprising to me that in India they have a problem. I know there have been problems in China. And otherwise, the companies are making a lot of money. It can't be an excuse. We're not making enough money, so there are going to be 323 medications we don't make enough money on. If that were the case, we wouldn't have aspirin, because nobody makes any money on aspirin. Well, Bayer makes money on it, but, you know, per pill, it's pennies.
Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that as we talk about 58% of our medications coming from companies overseas, that a lot of those places that we're getting our important medications from, well, they're not our friends.
Nope.
And that could be used as a security leverage,
and
right?
And will be. Mm-hmm. And what are we doing about it? I don't know. Have you looked around and seen any pharmaceutical plants being built anywhere around here?
Yeah, good question. This is really an important thing.
You know, we really were hurt by the chip shortage. People will die by the medicine shortage. And you'd think that would get everyone's attention to say, we have to change this. We cannot be dependent on countries that hate us. And can, you know, at one point or another, they'll get the money elsewhere. Everyone thinks that if there's money involved, they're going to keep doing it. Not necessarily true, because there's other money from other places. Marie Osborne, WJR Senior News Analyst. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
1242 WJR. Well, it is windy. Everyone knows it's windy. And 48 degrees as we speak. It's Focus on a Friday. Paul W. here, and always welcoming the editorial page editor of the Detroit News, Mr. Nolan Findlay. Happy Friday, Nolan.
Happy Friday, Paul. And I was worried that it's windy reference was part of the introduction to me.
Well, I didn't say anything about hot air balloons or anything like that. Then you'd have to take it seriously. I don't see you as windy or full of hot air, my friend. I see you full of knowledge and observations. And with that thought in mind, even though you haven't written about it and it's not scheduled for us to talk about, it's hard to not mention the passing of O.J. Simpson. But here's the thing. I spoke with my team earlier about it and learned that at best they were in grade school when this took place. You and I were working in the business when this took place, so we might have a little different observation. Give me some of yours.
Yeah, I mean, it really was witnessing the fall of an American hero. I mean, this was a guy who really owned much of the culture. Everybody loved O.J. He was just universally loved figure at the time of these murders. And, of course, he was implicated in them, not convicted, nor has anybody else ever been convicted in the murders of his wife and her friend. So, I mean, it was a really captivating time. And also, of course, like so many other things, the trial itself and the verdict, a very divisive time in our country. It became a racial issue and, you know, with people lined up on both sides. So, you know, and then to see him, you know, walk away without sort of any jail time on or conviction on those charges, and then walk himself into prison with really, really bad judgment. You know, it speaks to how the extent to which he ruined his life.
Yeah, absolutely. By as he put it, stealing back things that belong to him.
Yeah, well,
that did not go over very well, and he spent 9 years in prison. And I have this thing in my mind that is either a curse or a blessing, and that is, honest to goodness, I didn't remember or didn't focus on the incredible, obvious racial divide of the country at the time. I guess I had forgotten that there were cheers from the black community that a black man finally got justice in a court, and dumbfounded reaction from the white community. I'd forgotten just how obvious and how big the split was back then. I like I say, Nolan, I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, but now I have to face it and realize just how bad it was.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I think it persists. There was this sense that, in certain segments of the community, that he was being railroaded on this crime. And of course, if it don't fit, you must acquit. It became part of our cultural lexicon.
Yes. Yeah, it sure did. It sure did. We also learned something, that sometimes the hired, very expensive team of lawyers kick the butts of the people who basically are working for the government. And the people who are better at that oftentimes don't work for the government. They're out on their own making millions of dollars, which is what we found with the Dream Team.
Yeah, I guess it balances out. I think most of the time you would agree, and I'd agree, that the justice system gets it right. And whether you think it got it right or not, in the case of OJ, I think most of the time juries and the courts get it right. We still have not a perfect system, but an awfully good system of justice.
I agree. All right. So some of the things currently going on here otherwise in the news, and we have a president who, if he's being directed by his people, this shows just how bad these woke kids are. But you cannot go out there and say, I was handed a terrible inflation picture and I've fixed it. You can't go out and say things like that so easily proven to be a lie.
Well, that's been his M.O. on everything since he took office. I mean, Joe Biden, the rap against Trump you hear so often is, and you read it, or they just people just feel extraordinarily comfortable saying, well, Trump's lies and Trump lied about this. And lies continuously, about everything, about his personal biography and about everything else. And I think they believe they can make the American public think anything they want them to think. And, obviously it's not working. His numbers are terrible, but we had a bad inflation report. Witness what's happened to the stock market over the last couple of days. And I don't know what it's doing today, but certainly had a bad day yesterday. They don't seem to understand the angst of the American people. And, we had this conversation a little bit on Flashpoint for the Sunday show. This idea that, gosh, why don't Americans feel the economy is working? Why are they ignoring all these positive economic trends? Why are they, they've convinced themselves it's because of Republican spin and critics of the administration. And, people are living this. They know.
Go shopping with us. Go shopping. Go to the grocery store with us.
People understand their own financial condition. They understand their own personal finances. As much as you try to tell them, oh, no, you're doing fine, they know when they're not doing fine. Credit card debt is way up. People are borrowing from their 401k plans at an astounding rate. People don't feel fine, and they don't feel fine for real, tangible reasons. And that's what this administration doesn't get. I mean, Bill Clinton, give him credit. He pivoted, after his after his popularity plunged, he pivoted, and Biden seems unable to make any sort of change.
Well, we're out of time, but I felt bad when I saw the no labels were going away. One of the first things I thought of is, Nolan's going to have to deal with the election again. And you were kind of hoping on the no labels. They do appear to be afraid of RFK, and here we are with the FBI director, Christopher Wray, finally saying he's fearing a coordinated attack on our soil, just like the Russian music hall that got attacked and all those people killed. How did we get to this position, and what are we going to do about it? We're going to have to talk about that next time. But first, probably read about it in one of your next Detroit News columns, Nolan. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Always.
Nolan Finley is editorial page editor of the Detroit News. All-around good guy. Tells it like he sees it. You may agree or disagree, but you know where he stands, and he doesn't mamby-pamby it around. He doesn't say one thing and do another. That's what we like about Nolan. Lots more coming up here with Paul W. Smith in Focus. So glad we're together here. Even if it's not a beautiful day, we get rid of all the bad weather before 2 weeks, and we have our fabulous Detroit NFL draft. Is there an advance on the weather? Is that too far in advance, Mike Parsons?
I bet you we can check, but I would take it with a grain of salt. Let's see. Detroit extended forecast. Radio on the fly, baby. All right,
Yeah, that's what this is, live radio. That's what it is. I'm looking at the front page of the Detroit News. Through fame and infamy, O.J. kept us transfixed. Robots take over more tasks at auto plants. I wonder where that was in the new UAW contract.
So, Thursday, April 25th, timeanddate.com, which is a website I've never heard of, but they have a 14-day forecast. It says April 25th. Cloudy and 61. Friday the 26th. Sprinkles late, cloudy 65. So could be worse, could be better.
Yeah. Well, temp is not bad. At least there's no snow in the forecast.
Right. Like when we had the Super Bowl. But obviously that snow belongs in February. But I mean, it was like a blizzard that weekend.
Yes. Perfect timing. A couple of other things. Going to the NFL draft, that's what we're talking about. Plan your parking now. I know it's 2 weeks away, but we probably should get someone on very specific to that issue, that problem, if it's a problem. Because, you know, so much of the talk has been about people coming into our community. But, hey, wait a second. This is the Detroit NFL draft, and it's a bunch of us, Detroiters,
right,
who are going to be going. So we're not just catering to the people coming in from out of town. We are catering to them. We want them to love us. And we want them to love our city, but let's take care of our people as well. I didn't read the story. Dream of Upper Peninsula marijuana bonanza turns into melee.
Wow, that sounds like it was put together by AI. I don't know what those words mean.
This is frenzied rivalry spurs accusations of bribery.
Wow.
Backroom deals. Well, you know, where there's money, there's going to be something.
Don't mess with the UP, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just amazed as I drive and see the like driving up and back for Kalamazoo, and all it seems like the only new companies around are marijuana companies.
And I'm surprised the further west you go, the more you see, because the west side of the state is much more conservative than this side of the state. But as you go further west, you see more and more billboards for marijuana dispensaries.
Yeah. I'm not sure. There might be something going on there that we aren't aware of completely. Hudson's Site Tower reaches peak height in downtown Detroit.
And it was supposed to be the tallest building. That's what they set out to be. And then I think they started that, before COVID. So obviously COVID has changed everybody's plan. So
everything has changed.
I guess they're going to have to settle for the second tallest building in Detroit, which is still impressive, I would say.
What is the tallest building?
The Rensen.
Still the tallest building?
Yes.
Is anyone in the Rensen still? Oh, sorry.
I think they did. I think they did order everyone back to work for at least 3 days.
Okay. All right.
But it's Friday, so probably not.
Yeah. Stellantis cuts 200-plus supplemental workers in Detroit. That's probably in that new UAW, great contract also. Okay, ruling in California looms over auto industry. Way clear for Biden to okay stricter emission standards in state, further pressuring rocky transition to EV. So I what mostly will be happening is we'll all be walking somewhere, and that'll make the administration very happy. Very happy.
I would say they're skipping that whole step of the hybrid. I think that would be a much more practical step than forcing everyone to EVs. And I think Ford saw that, and that's why they had such
a good
quarter.
So smart. Yeah. We said it at the time, and it turns out to be true. They kept the ICE, the internal combustion engine division, even though, you know, I bet when they split it up, some people who were in the ICE, the internal combustion engine, probably went, oh, we're losers. They're going to EV. They're lucky. Not really. But for those of us who do love cars, and I know you're going to get Kenny Lingenfelder on, but the Lingenfelder collection, just so you can put it on your calendar, is coming up in 8 days. It's their charity spring open house, Saturday, April 20th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 7819 Lachlan Drive in Brighton. And it costs nothing to go in and see this unbelievable collection of fine, fine automobiles that Ken Lingenfelder has put together. It's at-will donations accepted at the door, and 100% of the proceeds benefit the American Cancer Society. There's over 175 vehicles. It is one of the top-rated car collections in the world. And it's right there in Brighton. No tickets necessary. Kids are welcome. And as I said, Ken and his wife do this and do a nice job with 100% of the proceeds benefiting the American Cancer Society. Saturday, April 20th. We're going to have Ken on in this, was it next week? Do you have it scheduled?
Yeah, it'll be later on next week, but we'll definitely have him on.
Okay. And we'll give you all the other details that are necessary. You have a big weekend, Mike Parsons?
Oh, geez. I was just thinking of trying to get through today. No, I think
fair enough.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna take it easy. I think we got a big, you know, we got the draft coming up, and that's just the beginning of everything here in Metro Detroit. So I think I think maybe rest up, because it's going to be a very busy summer.
It is going to be a very busy summer, and you're right. It kicks off, and then it doesn't stop. We have so many things going on this summer that many cities would be thrilled to have just one of these things and say, oh, we've got this big thing coming up this summer. We have event after event after event.
Our guys at Visit Detroit and all the different sports commissions and Mark House, they have been busy, and they have been delivering for us in a very big way.
They have, really, and I'm glad you point that out again, because we can't thank them enough for all the work that they've put in leading up to all the great things that are going to be happening. And we don't take for granted, you know, the regular things. In fact, is it today Tony's coming on? Tony Michaels, is that today or is that tomorrow?
No, he's coming on
tomorrow. Saturday, today. Yeah. I'm not working tomorrow.
I was going to say, he can call tomorrow. I don't know who's going to answer.
Yeah. All right, so he's going to be here. We don't want to take for granted the things that have always been here that are so important, like the Ford fireworks. And he's got a big announcement about that coming up. All right. Very good. There's something else I wanted to ask you about. I can't remember. Oh, I was going to ask Danielle what she has planned for the weekend.
Ooh, well, it's going to be a doozy, that's for sure. I'm going to a little honky-tonk tonight. I'm going to try and win some Faster Horses tickets. Oh. And then tomorrow I'm going to a house party to watch the Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight.
Is that tomorrow?
That's tomorrow.
Do you have to pay for that on?
No, it's on Netflix.
Netflix.
There you go. Free for all.
Is there any way that Mike Tyson does not knock out Jake Paul?
Yes.
I have no idea. I don't know anything about Jake Paul.
I say yes, but only if it is rigged, and that is the only way that Jake Paul should win.
All right, fair.
Do you really believe it could be rigged?
Yes. 100%. Because it's not commissioned, which means they don't have to go by any rules, and which means it doesn't hurt or help anyone's record. So it could, in fact, be rigged because of that. But we'll find out.
Out of the whole team, maybe Rich Lisinski, am I the only one that's going to watch the Masters? The silence, the crickets. Oh, my God. Oh, kids. The Masters, it's so special.
An event like none other.
Well, well done. It is an event like no other. They used to send this there to broadcast. Oh, so long ago.
Is that how you'd have to do the whole show, Paul, in your golf voice?
Yes, and now approaching the tee. Yeah. No. I remember being there one year when it rained so hard, I assured the team there's no way they were going to play golf the next day. And they played golf because they had 50,000 people out there on their hands and knees with squeegees drying off the course.
What a gig.
It was so incredible. That is just an amazing event. I want you guys to, I'm giving you some homework. Watch a little bit of the Masters, the genteelness of it. It's so special. It's falling on deaf ears.
Maybe when I'm hungover, that will work.
Here's the
great
thing. If Tiger Woods is somehow in it late on Sunday, everyone's going to be watching.
Well, everyone will be watching. Yeah, that's the truth. I still pull for him. I'm hoping and praying. I had many a wonderful one-on-one interview with Tiger Woods back in the day, especially when we had the Buick Open. And I'd love to see him come back again. I mean, we all, as Americans, used to love the underdogs, right? We used to. So you're picking Mike Tyson, and you're saying the only way Jake Paul could win is if it's fixed. Do you feel the same way, Mr. Parsons?
It has to be, because, I mean, Mike Tyson, yeah, I mean, he's past his glory days, but he still knows how to throw a punch that can wreck concrete. And this dude's like a YouTube star he's fighting.
They're not even in the same weight class.
Is that right?
Mike Tyson is a heavyweight, and Jake Paul is not.
Who knew Danielle was such a fight aficionado?
Yeah,
I did not know. We learn something every day.
Our official boxing correspondent.
Hey, you do a report Monday, Danielle, on the fight. Take notes and do a report Monday on the fight, okay?
Leave a segment open for
I'm going to try. I'm going to try and not drink too much then.
Well, please, you should always try and not drink too much. Oh. Just, you know, unless you're spending the night somewhere.
The intervention will be on Tuesday.
Okay. We continue in focus on WJR. This is one of those, for me, touchy kinds of segments, interviews, if you will. I've made it pretty clear over the years, maybe you don't know this if you're a new listener. Oh, by the way, I hope you stream us. All the cool kids stream. At WJR.com, you can also get our podcast. If you can't be here noon to 2, please listen in on the podcast. But it's always been problematic for me when teachers go on strike. I would add to that nurses, doctors. I guess I'm looking at, as is often the case, when somebody goes on strike, the people who are immediately affected aren't the people that anyone has a bone to pick with. The teachers aren't mad at the students. The nurses and doctors aren't mad at the patients. But I am told in this case, the patients are going to be protected. And we're going to hear about this from Dr. John Bayling, an emergency room physician at Ascension St. John Detroit. Maybe you have seen that a strike or strikes have been set by the doctors at St. John in Detroit. We're going to get the clear picture from Dr. John Bayling. Dr. John, it's Paul W. Smith. Nice talking with you.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us. I appreciate you bringing some light to some of the stuff happening over here. So thank you.
I know there are problems. Man, there are problems everywhere, but I know there are problems in healthcare. Everybody is overworked. People are burning out. It started before COVID, but COVID made it worse, and it didn't get any better after COVID. Well, there is no after COVID yet. But tell me what the problem is, what you're asking for, what you're upset about at Ascension St. John's from your point of view.
Well, you couldn't paraphrase what's happening more perfectly in that statement right there. Everybody is absolutely burned right out. And it started before COVID, but COVID exacerbated it. And Ascension St. John's it happens to sort of have the worst of it. We have a high needs, highly vulnerable population that we love taking care of, but your physicians and nurse practitioners there are recognizing that patient care is suffering due to a private equity firm, a large corporation, prioritizing profits over patient care. We don't have enough beds open. We have patients waiting in the waiting room 15 hours, with things like infectious diseases, broken bones, heart attacks, strokes that need emergent care. That's the reason they came to the emergency room. And they're out there waiting for hours and hours to see somebody. We have doctors and nurse practitioners willing and able to see them. And our staffing company refuses to engage in conversation about how to increase patient safety concerns that we've brought up with them. And so, unfortunately, we have been, this is our 11th or 12th round of negotiation. We're still arguing about whether billboards should be put in the bathroom or not, right? We are nowhere near any sort of meaningful change in our contract and patient safety and staffing levels and resource levels. And so we've been forced to strike, which is what nobody wanted to do. And I want to go back to one thing you said is this breaks our hearts. We are physicians that work in a vulnerable population in a high stress environment. We don't want any patient to ever suffer. And so you're right. We have been assured by the hospital and by Team Health that patients will not suffer for this. There is going to be adequate staffing with not your regular doctors, but doctors who have the training necessary to take care of patients in their most vulnerable times.
And so thank you for clearing that up, Dr. John Bailing. Yeah. And I forgive me, it's my job as an observer. When you say something I don't quite understand, even though it's insignificant by the way you said it, what the heck are billboards in the bathroom?
Oh, my God. You know, every union wants to have, you know, updates of, you know, where we're going to, you know, next meeting is this, or, you know, be sure to vote for, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so you have to be able to post those in your workplace. And
it's not at all what I thought. And I thought, man, they're selling advertising in the bathrooms. Things are very tough in the hospital.
Oh, it's just union news. And they want to argue about you can put it over the toilet. Right. We're like, what the hell? Right. So, I mean, this is just an example of surface bargaining, not really addressing any of our issues, not really making meaningful inroads into our contract. And so just like the people of Detroit are resilient and don't tolerate a lot of baloney and BS, neither do their physicians and nurse practitioners. We won't be treated this way. Our patients deserve better. Our patients deserve well-rested, happy physicians. That's what you expect for your parents when you take them in, your kids when you take them in, for yourself. And that's what the people on the east side of Detroit deserve as well. And it's our employer's job to make sure we have the resources to be that way, and they're not doing it. So,
all right. I first of all, the hair rises, what left I have, the hair rises on the back of my neck when I hear, unfortunately, these three words, private equity firm. They are buying everything around us. Yeah. And it's not, sadly, I don't hear enough times, if ever, someone say, you know, ever since the private equity firm came in, we have the best heating and air conditioning company we've ever had, or we have the best hospital we've ever had, or we have the best anything we've ever had. I'd love to hear it. I don't mean to point fingers, private equity firms. Heck, you may own us. I don't care. I've done this long enough that you can come down and fire me. I want to see someone improve something because of the money they got from a private equity firm.
Yeah, there's a place for capitalism somewhere, but it absolutely is not in healthcare, right? And the fact that a private equity firm would come in and try and make, and they do, they make millions of dollars in profits off the backs of a group of people on the, you know, east side of Wayne County and Macomb County and a little bit of Oakland County without reinvesting that money into resources for their care is completely antithetical to the reason why people go into medicine. In fact, Senator Peter's office just launched a Homeland Security investigation into what's happening in Detroit. We are leading the nation now in trying to fight against this problem. I mean, 70% of hospitals are now owned by private equity firms.
Oh, boy. I'm going to ask a question that some will think foolish, but I'm going to ask you this question. Do you feel that anything that you, the doctors, the nurses, are asking for is unreasonable or cannot be reasonably done and still have this company run a company, run a business, and make money, which is what they're in the business of doing?
Absolutely not. The stuff we're asking for is stuff that they already do at other places, you know, places where their population isn't, as vulnerable as ours, as easily victimized as our population.
Bring the music down just for a second. I know you're doing what you're supposed to do here, Danielle. Bring it down just for a second. I'm sorry. Finish your thought, doctor.
It's just that, you know, we take care of a majority black population, very poor population. If you look at what Team Health and, you know, Blackstone are doing in predominantly white neighborhoods with resources and a patient population that won't accept this, right? We're not asking for anything they're not already doing, right? There's the staffing models we are proposing to them, the resources we're asking for, they already provide in our suburban hospitals. This is, we're not asking for anything above and beyond that. We're asking for equity of care for a vulnerable population. And so, no, your question is absolutely appropriate, right? We are not, they could do this. And in fact, private equity may do things like human resources and billing and negotiation with insurance companies better than doctors do, right? And so there's a place for them, but they need to listen to people on the front lines, and they're not doing that here. They're prioritizing their profits over patient care. They're, you know, doing unfair labor practices, and now we have to go stand on the street and picket, and it's absolutely ridiculous when we want to be in there taking care of you, you know, in your most critical hour.
Best of luck to you, doctor, all the doctors and nurses and healthcare workers that you represent. I'm sorry it has come to this, and I appreciate hearing your side of the story very much.
No, thank you so much for having us on. Thank you.
Dr. John Bailing, emergency room physician, Ascension St. John Detroit, strikes set by the doctors at St. John in Detroit. Now you've heard that part of the story. We'll certainly welcome the private equity firm, the company, to come on board and give us their side of the story, too, as we continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR.
Now, Movie Show Plus presents This Weekend at the Movies with Greg Russell. Sponsored in part by Wiggly's famous Eastern Market corned beef. Now, with the best viewing in the stream and on the screen, here are Paul W. Smith and Greg Russell.
Yeah! And we invite all the kids to be a part of it. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Lozinski, and of course you listening in. We love having you here with us. Movie Show Plus is brought to you by Wiggly's famous corned beef. If you're craving Wiggly's famous corned beef, stop into Green Dot Stables at 2200 West Lafayette in Detroit and enjoy their famous Wiggly slider topped with kraut, pickles, and mustard aioli. Ooh, simply the best. And I know, Greg Russell, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Just when you said Green Dot Stables, I know I'm going to be next week between Channel 4 and the radio. Boom. Right down the street.
Well, good for you. As we head into the weekend and we find out what's being offered at the theaters and what's being offered from the comfort of our home streaming, let's start with the theater first, Mr. Russell.
Sounds good. Yeah, we've got a brand new movie there called Civil War. And what this is, it's kind of like the country is divided and is ready to break apart.
Let there be no doubt that this isn't like the old original Civil War. This is like a Civil War today.
Yeah. This is modern time. Yep. Sorry about that. Yeah. Modern times. And people are ready to, you know, separate either, you know, into two completely different countries or X amount of different, say, states or regions, you know, whichever way you want to look at it. And it's got some humor in there, a little bit of seriousness, but it's just kind of funny, you know, with like a lot of the things we always hear floating around, you know, out there. You're going, okay. This is definitely going to be one of those to talk about after you see it, Paul W., guaranteed.
Really, really. Well, do we have a cut, Mr. Parsons? Do we have a cut? All right, let's hear it.
Citizens of America. People of the Florida Alliance. You gotta move! And the Western forces of Texas and California. Will be welcomed back to these United States as soon as their illegal secessionist government is deposed.
You don't know what side they're fighting for.
Someone's trying to kill us. We are trying to kill them.
Gee whiz, I hope this isn't as too close to home as it seems like it might be.
It's very bizarre. I mean, it really is where, you know, you're looking and thinking, okay, certain things can happen, but then, you know, just other talk. That's why I said it'll be a great conversation piece movie, you know, when you get a chance to see it. So, yeah, it's very intriguing. In fact, if you go online, Paul W., and find the website for the movie, there's a breakdown of how these states are broken down in the movie. And if you look at them, you're going, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, how many Wigley's famous corned beef sandwiches are we looking at here?
Out of our four, we'll give it a good, nice, two thick ones as well as some extra cheese, because it's probably not going to be for everybody, you know, where they'll kind of go, eh, I can watch the news or whatever. But it is an interesting movie to watch.
All right, two with an extra thick cut and some extra cheese.
There you go.
Very generous of you with the cheese. And that's good, because today is National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. So you're putting your grilled cheese sandwich with the Wigley's famous corned beef. How can you ever go wrong with that? And I can't say that about the next movie, the one that's streaming at home. It is Chucky Season 3, Part 2. And for my explanation, it says... He's not dead yet. That's the whole explanation. Let's listen to Chucky Season 3, Part 2 right now.
I'm dying, Tiff. Who would have thought it would all end like this?
Chucky, you're a cockroach. You always come back.
Not this time.
Don't you want to go down in history as the greatest serial killer of all time?
You're right. Whoever's left when the dust settles will always remember one name.
Is Chucky?
Sounds very melodramatic for a Chucky movie.
Wow. So, I, you know, when they say this is the last time, it, of course, depends on sales. If this movie sells really well, there'll be another last time for Chucky.
and this is part of their series, too. So, I mean, they'll just keep on making them and, you know, getting them on the shows and all like that. It's funny. I talked about this, too, how, like, when Chucky first came out, like with Michael Myers and Freddy and everybody, they were all, you know, these very scary figures.
Yeah.
Well, like Michael Myers is still, you know, this really scary guy. Chucky is now kind of like turned into, like almost a stand-up comedian.
I was just going to say, it sounds like he's doing stand-up.
Yeah. And so he's just out there for, you know, making jokes. Jennifer Tilly's there as kind of like his sidekick. And it's more humor and bad jokes than anything else.
Good evening, ladies and germs. Welcome in to Chucky the Killer Doll. Well, I can't help it. I don't think of Chucky the movie. I think of Chuck E. Cheese, but that's because I'm hungry. And I've already had my appetite whetted by Wigley's famous corned beef and the Green Dot Stables on West Lafayette. What are we giving Chucky Season 3, Part 2?
Let's see. You know, probably a nice one with a couple of pickles thrown in. Just for the heck of it. If you enjoyed the series before, you'll probably get a kick out of it. Other than that, you're probably not going to, you know.
Sounds a little generous to me. But you're a generous guy, Greg Russell. That's why we love you. Have a great weekend.
Love you guys, too. Thanks so much, Paul W. Everybody there, thanks so much.
Greg Russell, Movie Show Plus, here in Focus on WJR. Big news from the parade company and the Ford fireworks coloring the Detroit summer skyline. We'll give you all the details up next. All righty, we end the show with more good news. We try to accentuate the positive here. Relentless Positive Radio here in Focus with Paul W. Smith, and one of the great guys who does so many things for our community, never to be taken for granted. I call him the Wizard of Oz and Ooze. And that's because of his duties for the next event we're about to talk about. There are so many, but we're going to talk about the Ford fireworks that will be coloring the Detroit summer skyline. Hence the Wizard of, the one and only Tony Michaels, president and CEO of the parade company. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Paul, top of the day to you. You know, June 24th is not far off, is it?
No, it comes by very quickly, doesn't it?
It does. It does. So think about this. We've got the draft. We have movement. We've got the Grand Prix downtown. Then to the Ford Firework. And then the Rocket Mortgage Classic. This city is really, really, really on fire. it's going to be a great, great 2-3 month period. It really is.
I said earlier, I've said it a few times, any other major city would be thrilled to have one of these events. We've got so many of them, it's incredible, and we're excited about that. And the Ford Fireworks in their 66th edition of this incredible fireworks display, one of the largest, most magnificent shows in all of America. It's not just us saying it. It's USA Today and many others saying it. And you couldn't do it without the help of Mary Culler, the president of Ford Motor Company Fund, and all of the help that they give you along the way, not only for this, but, of course, Hobnobble Gobble and so many other things that you make happen magically in our community.
Well, Paul, we are so fortunate. And Mary is and her team at Ford Fund are so committed to so much of, you know, helping Detroit and doing great things. Of course, Bill Ford and Lisa with, you know, the central station with Mary. And I know how hard she's working for that June 6th date, you know, to open up the central station. I mean, think about it. Ford Motor Company is just doing so many amazing things, such a great vision. And here we are, the parade company, so fortunate to be on one end of that, you know, that caring that they give for us to put on these great things for Detroit.
I tell you, I'm glad you brought that up because, frankly, there's so much going on. Sometimes I forget that Kim and I were thrilled to be asked by Lisa and Bill Ford to be on that committee. And I got to make sure that I include that in my list of events coming up because that's going to be spectacular as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it is massive. And the vision of that project and what is happening is just incredible. And as I said, I know how hard Mary and her team have worked on that project. And so, you know, you go there and then all of a sudden you've got the Ford fireworks coming just a couple of weeks later, June 24th. And we're just elated. We're working with Zambelli, Patrick Burrow on the choreography side. I'm working on the music. It's almost done. And Patrick has an amazing plan to match up with this music. And it's going to be quite a show. It'll be the biggest one we've ever done. But have I said that before, Paul?
You've said it before. And, you know, I'm just thrilled that we have the world's greatest fireworks company year after year after year. That says a lot about Detroit. It says a lot about you and your working relationship with the Zambelli family. That's a big deal.
They're phenomenal. They really are. And Patrick Burrow was always freelance. He's now with Zambelli, which makes it even easier for me, you know, when we're choreographing the show and working it out. You know, and Paul, the other part of this is Mayor Duggan, Chief White, and all of the law enforcement people in our city, in our region, in our state with Michigan State Police. It's incredible. We truly have the finest police chief in America. I will say that to anybody at any time.
And the finest mayor and the finest officers, the men and women of the Detroit Police Department, the Wayne County Sheriffs, the Michigan State Police. We are blessed. We are very fortunate.
We really are. Paul, on May 8th, we all get together for what we call our security summit. There are 80 people in that room representing DPD, Chief White's team, Michigan State Police, Homeland Security, Border Security. Everybody sitting in a room together saying this event and all other events are going to be the safest in the United States of America. And that is really, really awesome.
I hesitate, but I need to ask. I hope that there might still be some limited tables and tickets available for the Ford Fireworks rooftop party presented by Ford Motor Company, which really offer the best seats in the city to view the fireworks and helps you raise money for the parade company and all the good things that you do.
Well, no question. And this is like the perfect timing because we sell the early tables, letters go out early and people want to buy early. And then there's a slight lull. The invitations actually went out yesterday. So there are some tables available, but they are going to go very fast. And you go to theparade.org up to our big fundraiser, Not a Better Seat in the House, WDIV broadcasting live, Paul W. Smith doing the pre-show live on the animal food, your generation. It's the best party in town for the summer.
I really appreciate you including us in there. You know, television generally gets the attention, but you always are kind and you always put WJR, Paul W. Smith, in your press releases. I'm reading one right now, and I really, really appreciate that. That's why we love you and support you the way we do, and that you can go to theparade.org, or you can call 313-923-7400, 313-923-7400, or again, theparade.org. Please go there now and get some tickets. That's very unusual for me to be able to tell you there are some available, but they are right now because, as he said, the invitations just went out. But all proceeds benefit the Michigan Thanksgiving Parade Foundation and the great work you and Bob Riney and all the people who are on the board do to keep these sorts of great things happening in and around Detroit.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's so important that we bring people together in the right way and the safe way to the best shows in America, whether it's the parade, the Ford fireworks, what we do, Hobnobble Gobble, and the S3 Turkey Trot, but then everyone else's great events, you know, from the race on downtown, the Grand Prix, and so on and so forth. It's all very important.
It's going to be the biggest summer in memory with everything that is going on. And that means a tremendous amount of work, a tremendous amount of coordination. God bless Chief White and, again, all the men and women he represents and the Wayne County Sheriff and the State Police and Homeland Security and Border Patrol. I can't go through the whole list unless it's written down in front of me, but it's a lot of people. And they are working overtime and have been for some time to make sure all of this goes exactly the way it should go. 66th edition of the fireworks. So it's been going on for a long time. And it honestly, you say it every year, but it's true. It does get better every year.
Oh, just wait till June 24th. This one will, no pun intended, this one's going to blow you away. And I say that every year. You're not going to believe it.
But I'm also not going to believe this will be the first year in a long time you haven't asked Kim and I to come up with a song. I'm a little nervous about that.
Oh, boy. Well, there's still a little time. The music's due in a week. I'll be reaching out. Don't you worry. And if I could just send one message out there, Paul.
Yeah.
Everyone, enjoy the draft. What Claude Molinari and all the teams that have come together from Rocket and DDP and Eric Larson's team, it's going to be an amazing, amazing moment in our city with our great mayor and everyone.
I want you to come back too. We're out of time now, but I want you to come back and let's talk about the fundraiser and getting that building and getting the new world headquarters for the parade company, because we need it, and it'll be such a good addition to that part of town, any part of town in Detroit. We got to run, but thank you, Tony.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Tony Michaels, president, CEO of the parade company. There's the announcement. Fireworks, June 24th. We will be there. Thanks to the team. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Marie Osborne, Kim Smith, Fox News, Ann Thomas, and you, the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Stand by for news, then JR Afternoon with the one and only Chris Renwick. I want you to go on out, make it a great rest of the day and a great weekend, no matter what the weather, on your way to making each and every day count, because each day is a gift. Enjoy the Masters, and I'm always still pulling for Tiger Woods. Regards, Paul W. Smith.